From NPR News in Washington, I'm Paul Brown. Lebanon's Prime Minister Saad Hariri says rescuers are trying hard to find anyone who may have lived through a jetliner's crash into the Mediterranean Sea.
It's a big tragedy for Lebanon, and we are working with all the ministers, with all the power that we have to try to find the missing people that from this flight.
The Ethiopian Airlines Boeing 737 was carrying 90 people. At least 21 bodies have been recovered. The plane crashed shortly after it left the Beirut airport for Addis Ababa, Ethiopia. Witnesses report seeing a ball of fire plunge into the sea. Passengers from a number of countries were aboard. French officials say the wife of France's ambassador to Lebanon was among them. Prime Minister Hariri says so far sabotage is not suspected. International leaders are gathering in Montreal, Canada, for a conference on long-term rebuilding efforts in Haiti. Reporter Anita Elash says they'll talk about strategy with discussion of funding to come at another conference later.
Major aid agencies, banks, and foreign ministers from more than a dozen countries, including U.S. Secretary of State Hillary Clinton, will be at the meeting. They'll focus on how to rebuild Haiti after this month's devastating earthquake. The subject of money, how much is needed, and where it will come from will be dealt with at a major donors conference in the next few months. Haiti's Prime Minister Jean-Max Bellerive arrived in Montreal yesterday and will help lead the meeting. Experts say it's crucial that Haiti's leaders are given a major role. They say that will help ensure that international aid money isn't misspent and that Haitians take control of their future as they rebuild. For NPR News, I'm Anita Elash in Toronto.
NPR's Corey Flintoff is in Haiti. He says doctors and medical volunteers are feverishly working to help the tens of thousands of survivors who were injured in the earthquake. Nearly 2 weeks after the quake, many people are getting their first medical care.
I would say that most people who have injuries from the quake are now in hospitals or field hospitals where they are receiving some medical care. We have visited a lot of hospitals, and doctors there tell me that they are receiving people who still have fractures and, at this point, of course, very serious infections, some with gangrene, some who will require amputations. Doctors tell me that the longer patients go untreated, the more the danger of serious infection grows, of course, and that's very much what they're having to contend with now.
That's NPR's Corey Flintoff in Haiti. Clifton Jackson, a World War II veteran and believed the oldest resident in a small Eskimo community in northwest Alaska, is set to be the first person counted in the 2010 census starting today. This is NPR News. The New Orleans Saints will play the Super Bowl for the first time in their 43-year history. The Saints grabbed a dramatic overtime win at home, defeating the Minnesota Vikings. From Minnesota Public Radio, Tom Weber reports.
The team from the Big Easy found the NFC Championship game anything but. After 60 minutes of back and forth from both teams, regulation ended with the game tied at 28. The Saints won the overtime coin toss, then marched down the field far enough to allow kicker Garrett Hartley to punch through a 40-yard field goal for the win. The Vikings, who were led this year by 40-year-old quarterback Brett Favre, had the ball in the closing seconds of regulation, but that drive ended when Favre threw an interception. The Saints, who spent years as one of the league's worst teams, now head to Miami to play in their first ever Super Bowl against Indianapolis. The Colts earned their berth earlier Sunday with a win over the New York Jets. For NPR News, I'm Tom Weber.
As for Brett Favre, the man who wanted to become the oldest quarterback ever to start a Super Bowl, he couldn't say after the game whether he'll play another season.
In a situation like this, I really don't want to make a decision right now based solely on what's happened, because I do know the year could not have gone any better.
Favre also said he intends to go out on top, but he wouldn't say exactly what that means. The Hurt Locker nailed the top movie award from the Producers Guild of America last night in Los Angeles. That puts new wind behind the Iraq war drama in the race for an Oscar for Best Picture. The Hurt Locker is the story of a risk-taking bomb disposal technician in Iraq. It beat out nominees including Avatar and Inglourious Basterds. I'm Paul Brown in Washington.